You're listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney from the nation's capital in Washington, D.C.
Welcome back. Gordon Chang, our duty expert on matters involving Asia and that of Fox News, Forbes.com, also WorldAffairsJournal.com, is with us as he is each week. We're always delighted to have a chance to catch up with him, particularly in the aftermath of recent high-level conversations between the United States and China and Washington. Gordon Chang, welcome back. Good to have you with us.
Thank you so much, Frank.
So, Gordon, what are we to make of the consequences of this conversation? There were, as we talked about last week, several important elephants in the room, notably China's development of islands in the South China Sea from which to project power, and, of course, the attack, the hacking of our OPM accounts, as we were discussing earlier with Congressman Mike Pompeo. Were those featured in the conversations, and what else came of it?
There was very little progress on the major strategic issues, the two that you mentioned, of course, and a few others. And this really indicates that although we do talk to the Chinese quite a lot, including the strategic and economic dialogue, and also about 90 bilateral forums, we have not been able to really move forward on the things that really matter to the United States and the international community. There were some technical agreements here and there, and one could say that those were advances. Probably one could say maybe they were not. But the point is that we're not really moving on the more important issues that affect the international system.
And Gordon, to the extent that these two issues are very serious problems between the United States and China, is there kind of an effort being made, as you see it, by the U.S. government to sweep them under the rug, or are they just a matter on which we agree to disagree and move on?
Well, we have raised these issues not only at the Strategic and Economic Dialogue, but before then. We've talked about these issues with the Chinese for years, and yet basically Beijing does not see that it has to pull back. And so therefore, we are not imposing costs on the Chinese because we continue to rely on dialogue. And because we don't impose those costs, the Chinese see no incentive really to stop what they're doing. And so we have to have a change in mindset in Washington that there have to be consequences that we impose on the Chinese to get them to move in better directions.
Gordon Chang is our guest. We are talking about the state of U.S.-Chinese relations, particularly in the aftermath of high-level conversations that took place last week in the Strategic and Economic Dialogue. Gordon, of course, is a columnist for Forbes.com and a blogger at WorldAffairsJournal.com, as well as a guest regularly at Fox News and elsewhere. Gordon, we have seen coming out of these conversations, apparently, some kind of agreement between the United States and China to intensify military cooperation, including apparently conducting various drills, joint land exercises, and also trying to have some sort of enhanced understanding about air-to-air interactions that are designed to avoid conflicts there. Does this seem to you to reflect the kind of realities on the ground that you've just been describing? And if not, what's going on?
This is very confusing. First of all, we should not be exercising with the Chinese military under any circumstances. And it's not just ground forces, it's Navy as well. In terms of air-to-air or sea-to-sea encounters, yes, we should have agreements with the Chinese, as we did with the Soviets. It was very interesting. The vice chairman of China's Central Military Commission, General Fan Chenglong, was in Washington last week. He got a very low-key reception at the Pentagon, no 19-gun salute, which is customary. Very few senior officers at his welcoming ceremony. And also President Obama refused to meet with him, despite a request from the Chinese and the Pentagon. So this is really interesting about what's going on here. My guess is that we are not yet prepared to have those serious conversations, and so therefore the president decided not to meet with General Fan.
This comes against the backdrop of some things that the Chinese are saying about us, and I just wanted to run one by you, Gordon, as an example. The Chinese foreign ministry spokesman reportedly said, I believe last week, quote, "A few countries keep stirring up troubles in the South China Sea for their own selfish gains and provoking China's territorial sovereignty and maritime rights and interests, while there are some other people who incite them to do so," unquote. This is, again, seemingly part of the party line out of Beijing, that all of these kinds of aggressive activities by the Chinese in the South China Sea specifically are fully justified. Does this surprise you, and are we in fact responding appropriately to it?
Instead of our responses, we actually should be very clear with the Chinese, both in private and public, and we're not doing that yet, and we should be imposing costs, as I mentioned. And in addition to that foreign ministry statement that you mentioned, which, you know, there have been many of those, there also have been a comment or two from Chinese academics about how China is developing its hypersonic nuclear weapon delivery system as a response to the United States' meddling, quote-unquote, in the South China Sea. So we're getting these nuclear threats again from Beijing, although indirectly, but clearly at the direction of the Chinese military and the top of the Chinese political system. So we got to be really concerned about what they're saying. And there's been a complete silence on the United States in response to China's threats to use its most destructive weapons.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And Gordon, I can't underscore enough the importance of not allowing them to gain more access to our sensitive, well, technologies and also capabilities, and not least our sort of doctrine, by virtue of things like this RIMPAC exercise that the Navy's engaged in and our joint land exercises. This seems crazy in the extreme. Gordon, speaking of crazy things and the nature of military exercises, what is up with something that took place last month in terms of China bringing naval forces into the Mediterranean to exercise there with Russian counterparts? This seems to be rather far afield from the Chinese territorial waters and the kinds of, well, they call it brown water navy that we've associated with the People's Liberation Army until fairly recently.
The joint China-Russia exercises in the Mediterranean are certainly a worrisome development. We saw at the height of the Syrian civil war in 2013, actually Chinese and Russian vessels sortying together in the eastern Mediterranean as a warning to U.S. and NATO vessels also in the area. So China has made it very clear a couple years ago that they intend to have their ships in the Mediterranean. Now, that's international water, but nonetheless, we've got to be concerned that they're working with Russia, and the two of them are forming a durable military partnership to oppose the international community.
And Gordon, just going back to this this business about, you know, trying to have better understandings about air-to-air and naval incidents, those incidents are being precipitated, it I think is unmistakably clear, by the Chinese again and again and again, you know, trying to intercept American aircraft that are operating in international airspace. At what point do you think the failure to respond more forcefully to these things is simply seen by China as an incentive, an inducement to engage in more of them?
Yeah, we've passed that point decades ago, Frank. You know, the United States actually paid a ransom in 2001 when they downed the EP-3 over the South China Sea. This was disgraceful. You know, and we sent a message that the United States was not going to exercise, you know, its normal resolute diplomacy just because they were China. Well, the Chinese understood that. You know, as you point out, there are incidents at sea and in the air because China wants those incidents to occur. And I'm still in favor of agreements, but nonetheless, we've got to understand what is the cause of this. It's not a lack of agreements. It's Chinese assertion.
Gordon Chang, as always, your clarity on these issues is tremendously appreciated, both what you provide us each week and that you are serving us through other outlets, notably Forbes and Fox and so on. Keep it up, my friend. Come back to us again very soon. Next up, we'll be speaking with Congressman Barry Loudermilk about the various homeland security threats posed to our grid. That and more straight ahead.
Visit us at facebook.com/securefreedom with Frank Gaffney.